Yeah.
So Pastor Cora's trying to give you a secret hint to hurry
up. Go ahead. Oh, she got her head bowed. Yep, let's ready. Go.
We're live.
Okay, let's pray. We're live. Are we live?
Yes, sir.
Hello, everybody out there. And
No, he was not.
No, he was not.
You can't listen to your little sister.
We need to hire new cameramen.
No. See?
Good Lord.
Hire.
Usually it's like 3, 2, 1, you're live. So.
I know. What happened to action?
Yeah. Hey, none of that.
Yeah.
We action around here.
You just got to. All right. Pray us in. We will get started here.
Fire.
Go ahead. Say what you have to say, brother.
Yes, sir. Let's pray.
Very funny.
Heavenly Father, Adonai, we come before you tonight through the only door that leads to our eternal salvation. We bow before you tonight, Father, because we have bowed before your Son for the washing of our sins. Father, tonight we are seeking that your Holy Spirit would pour out over the study of your word. Father, we ask that you would speak through Pastor Sandy and reveal to us our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, teach us and help us to strive to enter into that door that leads to eternal life. You are the only one and the only way. Lord Jesus, help us to apply your word to our life tonight, to serve you as you first served us, to love you as you first loved us, and to die to ourselves, Father, because you sent your Son to die for us while we were yet sinners. And we thank you and we praise you. Father, we know that your Son, the Lord Jesus, is standing outside of the door and knocking. But Lord, so many people tonight are hearing that knock and are resisting opening that door. Lord, many hear your voice and they know that it's you, yet they still resist. So Lord Jesus, I pray tonight that you would break any and all of the resistance that leads to eternal life. We ask, God, that you would bind every spirit that would prevent people from hearing and obeying your voice. Father, we ask that tonight you would order the godly order of our homes, that you would blow the shofar into each and every household that calls you Lord and Savior, that we would hear it and obey. And Lord, we would give glory to you as how we treat one another. Father, we're asking for the shalom peace in our homes. We ask, God, that we would not resist or quench your Holy Spirit. Father, sanctify your people. Protect and provide for those in need, and especially for those in harm's way tonight. Father, strengthen those who are fighting the enemy, and may they do so with the full armor of God. We pray for the wisdom of our leaders and for the salvation of our enemies. And Lord, we pray for their repentance. We pray, Lord, that if they don't repent, that you would have your way, you would crush them, and you would protect your people. Father, we're praying tonight that you would put that hook in their jaw and lead them towards that destination where you, Father God, are going to reveal to them who you are and who it is that we serve. Maranatha, King Jesus, be with us tonight. Lead us in the study of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Hallelujah. We can get started. You guys have your notes with you? I am really ready to go home and be with Jesus and get this thing started, because this is, I told someone today, I've never had this much evidence pointing to one time ever since we've been started. We had like a few things that you say, well, because of this or that, but we've never had the whole Bible just pointing to one year, one date, one time. And so this is where we are. And then, you know, all the numbers are even pointing to one date, one year, one month. It's like absolutely crazy. And I'm sitting here trying to witness to this lady today, and she's, I think she's Catholic. And I said, "Do you know about the rapture?" And she says, "No, what's that?" And I went, "Oh my goodness, I got to talk to you." So we had a talk, because I think it's a shame if you are around people every day and, you know, when you leave, they go, "Where'd he go?" And they should know. Soon as you fly off, they should go, "Ah, it was true. Everything he was telling me, right?" I did not want to leave with this lady not knowing, who says, "I don't even know what the rapture is." That means that you know, I've just been talking to her about, well, you know, we were praying. We prayed with her and things like that, but really got to talk to her today, and hopefully get to talk to her some more. I told her, when you go home, you get your husband together, and you guys pray and ask Jesus to come in your life. Because I said, "I don't know what you guys are really worshiping, because I don't know what Catholics do. I just know it's a religion, right? You're kind of born into it, right? Is that how it happens? You're just born into it, and then you, they tell you when you're going to do this and when you're going to do that. Then you get to catechism, and then all of a sudden you're Catholic, right?"
Tradition.
Crazy. It's crazy. Okay. The Lord wanted me to start off by telling you guys this. If you have a good memory, you will remember when 9/11 happened.
Oh, yeah.
You will remember the outrage of everybody who were listening to the television as the television told them, an Arab guy in a cave in Iraq somewhere planned this whole thing, and he was able to organize two planes to fly into the two biggest buildings in New York City, and this one guy is the guy who orchestrated it all, and he got these other 16 Arabs to do it with him and everything. And everybody was angry, and we want to go to war, and people quitting football and joining the Marines, and it was absolutely crazy. You know why? We were glued to the TV, and we had not really realized yet that they lie a lot, right? I think we've grown up a little bit, right? We should have grown up, because when Bush was standing at Ground Zero, and they gave him the mic, and the firemen were standing around, and he says, "I just want you to know the people who did this are going to pay for it." And everybody was cheering. And then a lot of stuff started coming out, you know, about seeing George Bush at a school before the planes even hit, and having little children repeat to him, "Plane must hit still," before the planes even hit. You didn't know that? I'm going to send it to you. I'm going to send it to you. So he's in this classroom, and he said, "What? Sound off these words, kids. Sound off these words." And the kids are going, "Plane." And what's this word? "Must." And what's this word? "Hit." What's this word? "Steal." All right. "Kite." And then they use the word "kite," because "kite," if you've ever worked prison ministry, "kite" means a message, right? This is the message we're sending. And so at that time, I'm like, wow, this guy knew that it was going to happen before it happened. Then he told the kids, "Now we brought a gift for you today. Reach under your seat. There's a free book." And it was called My Pet Goat.
Horrible.
And then for the first time, I went, "Oh man, we are dealing with some demons."
Yep. Horrible.
And I'm thinking now, 3,000 over 3,000 people dead, and you're telling me this president knew and everything that was going on and all of this. And so since then, I think God should have wakened Christians up, especially to say, every time they start lying, you don't have to believe what's on TV, okay? I'm saying that because what we're seeing now is the beginning of World War III, okay? I'm gonna just grab my glasses. Do I have my mic in?
You don't even.
Okay. This is the beginning of World War III. I'm watching the narrative. What's the narrative? Oh, those brave Ukrainians. How they're standing for themselves and fighting back. And their president is saying, I'm here. We're not going anywhere. We're going to fight back, right? They don't have the military capacity to fight Russia. And they know it, and the rest of the world knows it. But watch as the television begins to show some of the atrocities, because Putin is hitting a kid's school today. Apartment buildings. I mean, most of them, these are civilians that are dying, right? But they're not putting the more graphic pictures on TV or talking, but it's enraging the world. You understand? And to the point where it's going to get to where NATO has to do something. The sanctions aren't working. NATO's going to have to do something. Putin cannot turn back. So now, I think another country, Bulgaria or something like that,
Belarus
is joining Russia in the northern part and sending in troops as well. But once this thing gets started to the point where NATO has to get involved, then you have a world war, okay? I don't know if you guys have noticed, someone sent me something that said on the back of all the Russian tanks, they have a big Z written on the back of the tank. Someone sent me. And did you guys see the movie World War Z? Yeah. There's like that, they were saying that movie will show you that they've been planning this for a long time. And so I haven't seen the movie. So I said, I'm going to watch it to see. But they'll say they've been planning this a while. And the leader of Albert Pike wrote a book many years ago about three world wars. And after the third world war, they will have a one world government. And so this is the third. The whole thing is to push the world into this third war. Okay. Now, in the middle of all this is going to happen something that they haven't expected, and that's the rapture of the church. And once the rapture of the church happens, it'll be even more confusion, and then the war will get even worse, and then the world war will get even worse, and then the atrocities they show on the news will get worse, and the whole world will be enraged over this world war that's been killing people, because they're talking about nukes now, okay? Because they're talking nukes now, and you're talking about, and here, I'm not even reading my notes. I'm just sitting here talking because I was just like, these people are nuts. Okay, I looked on a world conflict map, and it showed it says the countries that are in red are already really at war, even though they're not active engaged in the Ukrainian war. So eventually, United States is going to be involved, Russia, Ukraine, Syria will be involved, China will be involved, and it says Sudan will be involved. And it looks like Iran will also be involved. So they're just waiting for the opportunity for the proper heads to tell them, okay, now it's let's make it full-fledged. Let's get this whole thing started, okay? Now, everybody's like, oh, the Ukrainian president is such a good guy. He's standing with his people. And I want you to know this guy is just as much Illuminati as anybody, okay? Do not think he's some upstanding noble guy who got to be the president of Ukraine because he was popular. He was an actor and a comedian first, right? And so even here it said, I was reading this, it says statecraft, also statecraft, it says Zelensky, who rose to prominence as an actor and comedian, a producer, understood that better than most, it says, but Russia's invasion of Ukraine has turned the president into a performer of a different kind. So what's the performance that he's doing now? I'm the hero. I'm convincing you to keep fighting until the atrocities are so bad that the world can't take it, okay? Because if they surrendered and just said, let Russia take over and we'll just be a part of Russia, you can't get a world war out of that. But let's fight. We're going to send you arms. Germany's going to send you arms. All of this stuff, because they're getting it started, okay? Now, within the middle of this, the rapture is going to happen. And once the rapture happens, it's going to get worse. And then, because I believe this is a six-month war, about the time of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, someone will come forward and calm everything down and make everyone believe that he is the savior and the hero of this situation. And he will teach the world how to get along, and he will introduce a seven-year peace plan, and he will operate the book of Daniel chapter 8 says he will operate out of craft, meaning spiritual witchcraft, demonic spirits will be in this man, and he will operate and be able to convince the world that he is the one to bring a utopia and a better world, okay? What I don't want Christians to do is to think that they are going to bypass this great opportunity of a pandemic and a world war to let everything go back to normal. It's too well set up. We finally got cryptocurrency going. People are starting to understand what digital currency is. This is the greatest opportunity to introduce to the world our guy. But they're not going to accept our guy unless we push them to the point where they're crying out for our guy. You understand? And so the rapture is part of this, and this is why I'm telling people, be prepared to leave. It's for this reason that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He died so that you will never have to see these moments and these times. You understand? And so, let me read a little bit more. It says, the scorched earth policy is a military strategy that aims to destroy anything that might be useful to the enemy, to level without regard to life or military rule. Okay? Now, this is what Putin said. It says, if it doesn't go the way I want, I will use scorched earth policy. And I went, what is scorched earth policy?
What page are you on?
I'm still on the first page. I said, I had to look it up because I wanted to know what is scorched earth policy means. I'm going to devastate the place without regard to human life. If they don't surrender and lay down and let me do what I need to do and take over this country. And they're not. They're not going to. They're being coached by an actor who's an Illuminatus. We're going to stand our ground. We are proud Ukrainian people. And he's edging them on. We're giving out guns, right? Everybody gets a gun. We're going to fight. We're going to show the world that we're noble. They're pushing it so that you can see more and more devastation, more and more, so that the world gets angrier and angrier. Look, you're only going to get to see this for about a month, so watch it very closely before the rapture, okay? Watch it very closely and watch the setup, because it's a setup to tribulation, okay? I'll go to the second page now. At the top it says, NATO's Article 5 will pull the U.S. into the Russian-Ukraine war. So this Article 5 with NATO, eventually the statement was made, it's going to pull them in, okay? They can't ignore Article 5 and let this war just be a devastating runover of people, okay? The UN is going to say, you need to act if you're going to be part of NATO, okay? Biden told Zelensky the U.S. would react swiftly and decisively to any further Russian military action in Ukraine, according to the White House, reiterating he stands by Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity. Further, rejecting Russia's demand that Ukraine be blocked from joining NATO. So that's what the president of Russia said. You cannot join NATO. If you join NATO, we're going to devastate Ukraine. So before they were afraid to join NATO, but now they're saying, okay, we're welcoming the European Union. We're welcoming NATO. And they had opportunities after opportunities to join NATO the last 2 or 3 years, and especially while Trump was in office. But they said, no, if we join NATO, that'll be like declaring to Russia that we want to fight, okay? But you would have had someone to fight with, okay? But it's okay, because the whole thing's a setup, okay? Shutting down the Swift Bank, their ability to use finances, doing all of these things is only enraging Russia more to keep bombing and to keep doing these things. And now the people of God, I don't know what to say other than why aren't we excited about the Bible coming true? You understand? We need to understand there's nothing we can do that can change this world. There is nothing you can do. You are not going to be able to bring about peace. We can't even solve homelessness right now. And it really wouldn't take that much money, but they don't want it solved. You understand? So there's a lot of problems. They're pushing agendas. They're doing all of these things. They're pushing transgender, confused gender. Well, anything that they can do that is an abomination of God, they're doing it. It's up to us to do one thing. Stay engaged with Jesus Christ. Yes. By now it should be obvious to you that some war is going on, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody should be oblivious that Jesus is real now. Okay? No one should be oblivious that there's a spiritual war going on. Okay. Now, you see this word here? It's a word called Adar, okay? It's the month of Adar. Adar is the 12th month of the Jewish year. And since we finally got to the 12th month, well, basically we got to it last month, but their calendar was
messed up. So now we're in Adar 2. We're in like December 2. So this will set their calendar back to where it needs to be. And so we're in Adar 1. We're beginning Adar right now. And during the month of Adar is this whole episode of what goes on inside of the book of Esther, okay? It is the whole episode of the 180 days that the church will be gone before the tribulation even begins. You understand? So when we leave, this war will still be going on. Can I get a little air there? This war will still be going on. When we leave, this war will still be going on. The one you're seeing right now will still be happening while you're in the clouds dancing. Okay? It will still be devastating the earth. And people, I don't know, I don't think anybody is going to be allowed to hear the gospel properly
right.
when it happens. Amen. Okay? And this is what the Lord already explained to me. All these pastors in all these churches that don't preach the rapture, that don't preach a living right, but preach money and preach you. Because if I want you to stay, I got to preach you. You understand?
Yep.
I got to preach to your flesh. All of them are doing this. They're going to have almost the same congregation as they had before the rapture. Except a few people who were just there to help people and were really living for Christ. Because like the Lord told me in the beginning of this ministry, most of the people that are sitting there when I was watching T.D. Jakes' channel, most of the people are sitting there are sitting before their God. Their God is speaking to them right now. They don't worship me. And so you have to understand, I'm calling people to get out of these churches. I'm not calling you to, I'm saying get out of there. Find you some people that really love God, or be there and preach the gospel. Like the one guy that stood up at Joel Osteen's church. You know what I mean? He just started saying, this place is a mess. And by the time security got to him, he got some stuff out, right? I'm just saying the whole system has been infiltrated from top to bottom, especially when it comes to churches, okay? Still shouting and jumping and running on floors and shaking. And they got a guy right now traveling from country to country, making people fall on the floor by going, whoof, or waving his jacket. He's the new Benny Hinn. I don't know, I forget his name, but he's the new Benny Hinn. And he's doing the same thing. So they just got another guy with the same demonic spirit, Kundalini, and then they're continuing the show. Because listen, and please listen well, when the time comes to introduce the Antichrist, everybody who didn't hear about the rapture or know about the rapture or didn't want to believe in the rapture are going to be told that Christ has returned. This man is not going to stand in front of them and say, I am the Antichrist. That is not going to happen, okay? He's going to stand in front of them, and the Jews are going to confirm to the world that this guy is the Messiah, okay? And so everything is like right on the doorstep of happening. I'm not going to be preaching. I'll go over some things, but I'm not going to be preaching rapture forever. And this is it for me. And I'm trying to let you guys know, I have never, since we became a church, had God go, and this goes with that, and that goes to this date, and this. It just points everything to the same date and time, right? Let me just pull it all together. It all lands here, okay? Never has this happened before, but it's happened now.
Wow.
And so I'm telling us, Stick with Christ, stay in your word. So now, Adar is the month that we're in right now. Adar means glorious, okay? That's what the word means. It's the 12th month corresponding with the month of, with March through April. You understand? So we're in the month of Adar in the book of Esther. It's all happening in the month of Adar. And God makes sure that Adar is in there 8 times because it's the name of Jesus or the number of new beginnings. In the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 3, it says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. When you read it in Hebrew, it says like this, looking forward to the blessed hope and the Adar appearing of our great God.
Glorious.
It's saying looking forward to the Adar appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Mekepeset HaBaruch HaTikva VeAdar HaFoto TeGodol Elohim VeHamashiach Shelanu Yeshua HaMashiach. So in the Hebrew, it's using the word Adar. The glorious appearing is the Adar appearance, okay? And we're in the month that just happens to be 6 months before Yom Kippur. Before Nisan 1, when Nisan 1 hits, you've got exactly the 6 months until Yom Kippur for that prophecy to be fulfilled. Understand, that prophecy has to be fulfilled, so now that prophecy points to us at this time, okay? Here we go. March 14th, the last day. It's 187 days from March 14th to the 10th of Tishri, which is the day of the entrance of the Antichrist. Okay, Esther 1, verse 1 through 8. I don't want to read it again, but you guys know what it says, right? You guys know what it says? Anybody don't, I'll read it again. Because it talks about the king giving a party for 180 days. The whole story of his luxurious party is being told in the first 8 verses. It all has to do under the symbol of Susha, which is the lily plant, which is the same structure as the Star of David. All of the party is being given in blue and white, the same as this wristband, right? Because the whole thing, God is saying, this is a Jewish story. What's the Jewish story? There's a bride of the king that is not acting right, and I'm going to have to set her aside because she's not acting right, and I'm going to go out amongst the community and find a bride suitable for the king, and then I'm going to bring her into the palace. And then once she comes in the palace, then at the very end, me and her will go back and save Israel.
Yes.
Is that the story of Esther?
That's the story.
Okay? Is that the story of the church and Israel? Mm-hmm. Same story. But God gives you the 180 days of celebration that happens before the tribulation even begins. Okay. Yeah. Then in Samuel, let's go to Samuel. Let's go to 2 Samuel. Amen. Ooh, look at all these notes. I am a notes king. We're gonna point everything to now, okay? That's what we're gonna do tonight. We're gonna point everything to now. Okay, I'm in 2. I'm in chapter 2. I'm in chapter 2. I'm in verse 8. It says, meanwhile, Abner, son of Ner, commander of Saul's army, had taken Ishboeth, the son of Saul, and brought him to Mahanaim. He made him king over Gilead, Asheri, Jezreel, and also over Ephraim, Benjamin, and Israel. So there is a man called Ishboeth, which in Hebrew means a defiled man, who is now the ruler over Israel and all the other surrounding areas. You see, you hear that? Ishboeth, the son of Saul, was 40 years old when he became king over Israel and reigned for 2 years. The house of Judah, however, followed David. Who's the house of Judah? The house of praise. Yes. The house of praise, however, followed David, the king that God was appointing.
Yes.
We follow Jesus, the king that God is appointing. We don't follow Ishboeth because Ishboeth wants you to get a booster shot. Did I say that?
Yes,
yeah. Did. Don't plug this one in. So we have to understand that there is a demonic system set up that wants to take over the world and rule over Israel. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so this is going on right now. We're going to get to something in a minute. Hold on. Now, it says, Abner, the son of Ner, together with the men of Ishboeth, the son of Saul, left Mahanaim and went to Gibeon. Joab and Zeruiah and David went out to meet them at the pool of Gibeon and sat down at the side of the pool. We don't want to read all that part. So anyway, Ishboeth is king, and he's ruling. Now, David rules where? In Hebron. Okay? Why is that important to know? This is Bible study. Why is it important to know that David goes to rule in Hebron? Because Hebron don't belong to Jews. Hebron is a Gentile city. It belongs to Caleb. Okay? For 180 days, which is 6 months, David is ruling among Gentiles in Hebron, which is a word that just means in association. We're in association. We are Jews by association. Understand?
Yes.
And so we have to understand that everything that is happening, that is written in Scripture, is happening right in front of us right now. Okay? So, for this 6 months, he rules there. But now, if you went to chapter 5, I'm going to read in chapter 5, it says here that it says that David came back, and then it says, but they took the head of Ishboeth and buried it with Abner. So David had to come back after 7 years and 6 months and fight a war. He couldn't just come back and just say, I'm the ruler over Israel. He had to come back and fight a war, cut off Ishboeth's head, and then the Jewish people finally accepted him and said, oh, that's so sad. We made Ishboeth our king, and really, you are supposed to be our king. Let's go to Song of Songs real fast. Let's go to Song of Songs. Come on, baby. 22nd book. Okay, Song of Songs. And watch this. Okay, do you guys remember the city where they made Ishboeth king? Mahanaim, right? Watch this. I'm in chapter 6, and I'm reading from verse 10. It says, who is this that appears like the dawn? Okay, this is Israel speaking. Fair as the moon, bright as the sun, majestic as the stars, in possession. The church. I went down to the grove of the nut trees, and looked at the new growth in the valley to see if the vine had budded or the pomegranates were in bloom. Before I realized it, my desire set me among royal chariots of my people. You hear that? Obviously, she's in a royal chariot and she left, because now Israel speaks again and says, come back, Shulamite. Come back, that we may gaze upon you. And then Jesus speaks and says, why would you gaze upon the Shulamite as you dance, as on the dance of Mehanim? So that means when they made Ishbosheth king, they gave a party.
Right.
And danced and had a good time. But now, in this chapter, they're saying, look, you made an evil man your ruler many years ago.
Yes.
Okay? And you're going to do the same thing again. You're going to say, be our king, rule over us. We don't want Jesus. Because all you have to do is go to Israel and stand on the corner and start preaching Jesus, and you will get spit on. And I really mean spit on. They will not arrest the people for spitting on you, because the police agree with them. You shouldn't be preaching Jesus in Israel. So I'm letting you know, they still have the same attitude about Christ as they always have. Like I was remember I had the church van?
Yes.
And I there was a Jewish guy, I used to give him a ride home. I guess you could see this side of my van, but the other side said Soldiers for Christ, but on this side it had something else, right? So he'd get in on this side, and I'd take him. And I started talking to him about Jesus, and man, he talked about Jesus like he stole money from his mother, and he was the worst person in the world. I had to go, wait, I didn't even mean to bring that up. I'm sorry, let's let this calm down. Because I didn't realize that would bring that much anger out of him. So I'm letting you know, Israel needs salvation.
Yeah.
They're blind to Christ. As clear as it is to you, it's completely blind to them.
Wow.
Okay. So now, from this march to Yom Kippur is going to be that 180 days. If Jesus returns on Yom Kippur, that means the 7 years ends on Yom Kippur. So once they start the date, they'll start counting. Because remember, in the book of Revelation, they're telling you it's going to be 1,260 days. It's going to be 3.5 months. Or it's going to be 42 weeks. They're telling you exactly how many days the tribulation is going to last, okay?
Yeah.
So understand, they're going to start counting at Yom Kippur, and those dates will be counted. Now I need, here, let me see if I need to go to the next page before. Okay, go to the next page of, on page 3. Now, even though Adar is found 8 times in the book of Esther, the name Esther appears 55 times. That would mean nothing to you, but to God it means everything, because the word everything or all is 55. The word bride, kala, is 55. The word consummation, as in consummation of a wedding, is kala 55, which is also means end. As a matter of fact, on the cross, Jesus says, zekala, it is finished, which means it's over with, it's done, okay? And then, in the ordinal fashion of the Hebrew, the day of the Lord, Yom Yahweh, is also 55, okay? So all of these have a numerical value of 55, and if you don't understand how important numbers are to God, you'll think that, well, what does that mean? God is like, everything! What are you talking about? Knowing God through his language changes your whole mind about the guy who wrote the book.
Yes.
I used to think God is like up there and he wrote us a nice cute little book just to read so we can get our lives together. Now when I read it, I go, whoever wrote this was just a brilliant mastermind, like Pinky in the Brain type stuff, right? Because I'm just like, how did you think to do that in all of these things? How did you think to do that? Watch this. I'm going to tell you something that may not mean nothing to you. How many books are in the Bible?
66.
Now watch this. Let me see. Did I put this in here? Do I have another page? Nope, I didn't. But
where's my baby?
Collins, my baby. Now watch this. Okay. The word in Hebrew for a belly, you know, and it's female too. Because if it talks about a men's belly, or it uses a different word. But for a woman's belly, it says habetin. Okay, that means the belly, or it could mean the womb, right? And so the numerical value for the belly of a woman or the womb is 66. Why?
66 books,
but you can't get, life comes out of where? Out of the womb. So you can't have life unless it comes out of the woman's belly. So God made the spelling of the woman's belly different from the spelling of the men's belly, so that it would be 66, meaning 66 books, because life comes out of the 66 books. You understand? To you, that means nothing. To God, it's like, it means everything, right? Because God is writing this book and he's trying to show you who he is. And he's trying to show you, not only am I prophesying, for us to find the date of Israel's rebirth in Deuteronomy, and to find the 67th war in Deuteronomy, and to find the date of 2021 to say, if only they knew it was the end, pointing to this year. For that to just fall into place, you're like, how did you get men to do what you wanted them to do? Now, it doesn't fall into place if I use the guy who was trying to sell it for $150. It took my friend Kevin to say, it's missing one verse. I was like, I don't want to say it's missing one verse because I'm not really sure and I don't get into all that stuff. I'm going to just let it be what it is. And so I started, and then he gave me this book. I had a brain thing. Emerson gave me the book again. And then Emerson gave me the book, and then I started reading. So I went to the scripture where the verse was missing. But this is the original text, and the scribes wrote it. So they put the scriptures the way they're supposed to be. There was a 19th verse. There was only 18 in the other one. Guess what that verse says? The verse that God gives us to make everything come alive. It says, this is the shortest verse, got to be in the Bible. Nope, Jesus wept is probably the shortest. This is the second shortest. You know what it says? After the pandemic. That's what it says. That's the whole verse. Verse 19, Numbers chapter 25, verse 19 says, after the pandemic. And then you put that in, and then everything. From that, we get Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all giving us the Holy Spirit, the church, and Jesus. Wow. Those five books don't fall into place to tell us this is all about the Holy Spirit, the 153 fish that get raptured, and Jesus. If we don't find one verse that says what? After the pandemic. So it appears that God wanted us to find it, but he wanted us to find it now. You understand? Because it wasn't a big deal before. But now it's a big deal because now we're at the time of the exit, and God is like, they're missing something, okay? Go back to the original text, and you will see, okay? Then we have the number of chapters in all books was what, 153? 153 chapters, the 153 fish. The first 12 verses in Genesis have 153 words. Is that important to you?
Yes.
It should be, because it's important to God. He said it that way. Okay? That's why I'm trying to tell you, everything's pointing to this year, this time. Now watch this. You have this letter, Lamed, which means Lamata, to go up. It is the only Lamed in all of the Psalms of Ascent. Where's my phone?
I was going to do it tonight.
Okay. It is the only Lamed in all of them. It is the only, and the Lamed is a verb, a continuous verb. It's an infinitive verb, okay? So this one says, this is the year that it happens. Now, this Lamed is in the ancient Greek, in ancient Hebrew, a shepherd's staff, which means that who's ever leading us up is a shepherd. And there's a shepherd's staff there only in Psalms 121 for year 2021. Now, if you read this whole chapter, 121, verse 1, its numerical value is 2220. 222 is the voice of God, but it's the root. Look, a tenfold manifestation of the root are all through the Hebrews, the Hebrew Bible. So the tenfold manifestation of the dove is the Holy Spirit. 71:710. You understand? So the scripture have the root, because I'm talking about something, but I'm not going to reveal to you what it is till later. If I give you the Passover, it'll be 148. But when I get to the 10 manifestation, the manifestation of the truth of the Passover is Christ in Greek. Understand? So the full manifestation of the voice of God happens in 121, in the same year of the Lamed, the going up, and the shepherd's staff. But watch this. It says, when it says in the scriptures, Veyidibar, that means, and he spoke. Always 222 when it's talking about God, okay? When it says, Kol Elohim, the voice of God, it's always 222. But their roots, they're not the full manifestation. The full manifestation of hearing the voice of God is calling the church up out of the world. You understand? So when you get to Revelation chapter 4, and John says, I was standing and I heard a voice speaking to me like a trumpet. Okay? And the voice said, it spoke, Kol Elohim, the voice of God spoke and said, come up here. That's the full manifestation of what happened in Exodus when he said 222, now it's 2220 because it's at its fullness. So this is the completion of it is 121. So now we got everything pointing to 121. You get the 180 days before the 7-year tribulation, but only if it happens in 121. You understand? Before 2021, before April 2nd. You understand? So everything is pointing to now. Now you have a war that's about to escalate into a world war. Okay, let's not talk about the 666 cryptocurrency. That's for later, after we're gone. But it's here now, so that you'll know everything is pointing to now.
Yes.
Okay? So no one should be playing around with this relationship with Christ. I looked up the word aortus, the aortus of the Greek, And I said, Drea, I said, I was thinking like the aortus means like, okay, if you confess Christ, you have to keep confessing Christ until you, you know, until you, and you have to keep being faithful to him, right? I looked it up and it said any aortus verb that is used in the Greek saying, I believe in Christ, you just said an aortus verb. Like if you said, I do to a woman, you just said an aortus verb. Why? Because the word means to be active, engaged, and continuous. Active, engaged. That's the thing, okay? This is the difference between being lukewarm and being a Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not active,
right.
You're not engaged,
right.
And you're not continuous, okay? So when the Greeks read, believe in Christ, they knew, oh, you got to go all in if you're going to be with Jesus. They knew because of the language and they understood the language. But we lead people to Christ and we don't tell them, if you're going to do this, you got to come in full throttle. You have to come in active. You got to be engaged and you got to be continuous because this is an aortus verb. Your faith has to be that way. Your confession has to be that way. Your lifestyle has to be that way. And you say, wow, that Greek word. I says, even if it didn't, God already told you, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And he says, if you're going to love me, you got to love me with all your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength, right? So God is just saying the same thing that the aortus verb, meaning if you're going to confess, you better be all in. Because God is like, if you want to love me, you, your heart, your soul, and your strength. Yeah, and if you can't do it, find yourself a little Buddha statue and go over there. But don't you dare try to be in a relationship with me and be lukewarm about me. That's Drea. That's Drea right there. I don't want to be in a casual relationship. We should be going on a date sometime. We should be doing things. When you going? I was like, okay, you leave Drea, you got to be all in, you know. she don't want a casual relationship. And that's how God is with his relationship. Okay, I know I only had a little bit of time left, but we do have tomorrow, don't we, Pastor Ben?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, here it is, the other thing. The constellation of Dagim. How do you say fish in Hebrew? Dag. How do you add an S to the end of a Hebrew word? I am. Dagim, fish. You call it Pisces. It's this month. Guess what? The star constellation says the fishing trip's supposed to be over with this month. From February 19th to March 20th, the fishing trip is over. That means So for God to show it in the stars, he didn't just put the fish, he put a woman in the cloud. When the constellation starts, there's a woman in the cloud in the sky, and she's bound in chains. Mm-hmm. Then toward the end or the middle of that month, that's for the what you guys call Pisces, is a woman with no chains on, adorning herself with a crown. So he's showing you there's a woman that's going to be freed during the month of Dagim. That is February 19th to March 20th. Okay? So now, even the star constellations is pointing to this. The spring wedding is pointing to this. The 180 days is pointing to this month. The war that just started is pointing to this month. Everything is... The Psalms chapter 21, everything points to this month. So never before has God been like, I'm zeroing you in on one month, one day. Understand? Not the day or the hour, but one month. This is the time. Okay, I'm zeroing you in on this so that you understand and you can tell people, look, the world's about to change.
Yeah, it is.
I know you think like, oh, they'll have their little war and then they'll calm down. The world's about to change. They're not going to waste. What did Rockefeller say? Or was it, you know, one of Rockefeller said, we don't want to waste a good opportunity with a world crisis, you know, to bring about world order. And this is their perfect opportunity and perfect crisis to bring about what they want. And it's the perfect time. Year 73 of Israel's birthday. Only 7 more years. Well, what happened to the tribulation? Hold on a minute, okay? Because Israel will be 80, okay? Israel will be turning 80, what, in 2028? And the scripture in Psalms 28 seems to show that the Hercules or the strong man is sitting around a table with Jewish children. And who did he come back to rescue the Jewish children with? The bride. Because remember, when they rescued Israel, it was Esther and the king that did that.
Yes.
When Moses went back to rescue Egypt, he says, I'm headed back to Egypt and I'm taking my bride and my children with me.
Yep.
You understand? So God is always telling you, when you come back, I'm coming back with all of my saints. Amazing, amazing history and amazing future of the born-again believer. Sons of God, sons and daughters born by the Spirit of God, being transformed into the same body as Jesus.
Yes.
And I can't wait till he sees us so he can go, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. You're just like me, baby. We'll do this tomorrow.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Brother Ryan, we'll pray you mind.
What is it?
Good evening. Sam.
Good evening, sir.
Oh, Jillian was talking.
Was Jillian talking and did he interrupt me? Wait a minute. Okay. Was it Winston Churchill? Well, which Rockefeller was? David Rockefeller ripped him off then. Because he did say it too. Okay, great. What is it?
The 2220. When you took off, you said it happened in Exodus. What was it? Exodus 22. What verse? And you times it?
Times
10.
Numbers 25, 19. Numbers 25? 25, 19. Numbers? The one that was removed?
I thought he had said it was Exodus.
Yeah, I don't know what you're asking. That's the problem.
They can't hear. The
yeah, the people can't hear anything. So let's say goodnight to the people who are on camera because they can't hear you anyway. And then I'll show it to you when you come up. Then it'll be clear. Oh my goodness. I'm gonna retire. I'm gonna sit on the moon with my feet in the water.
Actually, when we get there, there's like a lot of work to still do.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get a Sabbath. Pray us out, brother.
I just feel led to read this prayer of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart. I didn't write this, but I've read it. Sounds good. If you have not confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you have not been born again, if you are not sure that if you died tonight, you will go to heaven, if you're not sure that you're ready for the rapture, let's start right here, right now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Repeat after me. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon my soul, for I am a sinner and have fallen short of your perfection. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former sins. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that he sits at the right hand of God at this moment, hearing my confession of sin and this prayer. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed in my place on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away. Lord Jesus, I repent and I turn to you. Will you forgive me and save my soul? I know because your word, the Bible, says so, that your word says you will turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I am saved. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul, and I will show my thankfulness by right now doing as you command and sin no more.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Praise God. May the Lord watch. Do you bring this out now? Or
oh, Lord.